You're listening to New Retirement Radio, brought to you by the team at Prout Financial Design.
Hello, I'm your host, Certified Financial Planner Dennis Prout.
I'm Heidi Cartwright, Financial Advisor and RICP.
I'm Deanne Jennings, and I'm here to share data and dive into the world of finance with you.
Investment advisory services offered through Capital Asset Advisory Services, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Securities offered through Genios Wealth Management, Incorporated, member FINRA SIPC. Opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of Capital Asset Advisory Services. The topics discussed and the opinions given are for informational purposes only and are not intended as financial, tax, accounting, or legal advice, and are not intended to address the specific needs of any listener. Listeners are encouraged to discuss their individual needs with an appropriate professional.
And we have a panel of them in our studio right now from Prout Financial Design. Welcome to New Retirement Radio on WTCM. Mr. Dennis Prout is on vacation today, but we have other folks here like Heidi Cartwright and company. Welcome aboard, Heidi.
Thanks, Ron. Yeah, it's great to be here today. And I brought along some other people from the office. Deanne Jennings is our Director of Operations.
Good morning.
Yep. And then we brought Nathan Prout, who is our newest advisor. He's joined our advisor team this year, and we're really excited. And he brings a lot of skills, and one of them is he is our expert in annuities and insurance. He's been working in that area for us for a number of years, and it's really fun to have him on the advisor team now.
Nathan. Woo-hoo.
Good morning, everyone.
Did you just attain some new certification level?
Yeah, I passed my Series 65 at the start of this year, and that was the last hurdle.
Uh-huh.
So now I'm a full-fledged advisor with Dennis and Heidi.
You have to go all the way to Grand Rapids to take that.
Yeah.
Serious stuff.
Dennis is on vacation. What are the chances he's listening right now?
I don't know. Pretty good, I think.
Well, if he is, hello, Dennis, if you're listening.
I hope he's enjoying the sunshine because it's gray and cloudy here today.
It's a bit brisk, for sure.
Yes, but here we are on March 2nd, and today we are looking at an article from the most recent Ed Slott newsletter. It's his March newsletter, and we're talking about Secure 2.0, and you're like, hey, you know, you guys have been talking about this all year so far, and that's true. But we've been looking at it at a higher level. And so you're going to find over the coming weeks and months that we'll pick out certain sections and sort of dive a little deeper into it to give you a little bit more understanding. Because when we went over this at the beginning of the year, there was a lot of changes, just one change after another. And I'm sure not everybody remembers them all. And we're all discovering what these things are really going to mean and how they're going to impact us. So the Secure Act was signed into law on December 29th of 2022, and it includes over 90 new IRA and retirement plan changes, and it covers 357 pages, those changes. And, you know, you never heard any talk about that before they signed that bill, but hidden in the pages are all these changes. So the two we're going to talk about today are the RMD and excess contribution penalties. And these are two common penalties that have been in effect, but they have tweaked some of the rules. So first we'll talk about the RMD penalty.
Required minimum distribution.
That is correct. And when you turn a certain age, and we should probably go over what those ages are, it used to be 70 and a half, then it was moved to 72, and now it's moving to 73, and eventually it will be 75. So how's that for making it nice and clear? But we have broken it down by age categories. So people born in 1950 or earlier, their RMD is either 72 or 70 and a half. People born between 1951 and 1959, the age is 73. And for those born in 1960 or later, the age is 75. So they've taken a rule and made it even more complicated.
So they pushed off. I'm surprised that if you RMD, required minimum distribution, you're required to take a certain amount out of your
IRAs, your traditional pre-tax money. So it can either be in a 401k or it can be in an IRA.
But they're making you do that now at a later age.
Correct.
So they're keeping, they want the money to stay in there longer.
Well, yeah, it could benefit the person. Not all these rules are bad for the investor or the saver, but it does. It gives you some more time to decide and not be forced to take money out and maybe give you some more planning years of how you're going to handle those RMDs in the future. Okay, so usually RMDs must be withdrawn by the due date or the required beginning date. And the due date for RMDs is usually December 31st of that year. However, account owners for it, the first year that they take it, they are allowed a little extra time and they can take that first RMD all the way up until April 1st of the year following. So say in 2022, you didn't take an RMD, and that was the first year that you were required to. You can wait until April 1st of 2023 to take that. But something that we warn people before, hey, that's a great deal. It's great if you forgot to take it. But on the planning side, if you take that first year RMD, not in that year and delay it to the next, then you have two amounts that you have to take out in the same year because you'll owe one for 2022 and 2023, for example. So the reason that we look at that is because if it's a significant amount, it can really affect your income. So before you just automatically push back that first RMD, you want to make sure that you're taking a look of what the impact of that will be. Okay. Now, beneficiaries, so people who inherit IRAs, including Roth IRA beneficiaries, are also subject to RMDs. Some have annual RMDs, while others must follow the 10-year rule or the 5-year rule payout. So for the beneficiaries subject to either the 5- or 10-year rule, the RMD, or that required minimum distribution, is whatever remains in the account at the end of that period. So that just means if you're in a unique case where you're on a 5-year or a 10-year payout rule, you can wait till that very last year and take everything out, or you can stagger it over those years. You have a lot more freedom. You don't have to take out a specific amount each year. Okay? So for years, the penalty for a missed RMD has been 50%. And that really captures your attention, doesn't it? I mean, who wants to get a 50% penalty? And like I said, especially for people who have significant balances in 401ks, that 50% of your required minimum distribution can really add up.
So your RMD is based on your the total amount you have in your account?
It's based on that, and it's also based, there's a table as you, how old you are that year, so that factor changes as well. So it's not a number that you can always pinpoint in the beforehand.
So what's an average range of, like, how much do people, are they required to take out?
Well, it starts about, I think it's like between 3 and 4%, and it gradually gets more and more. And I think once you hit 120, you're at 50%.
So you could be if you have to take out $30,000 and you don't, you pay a 50% fine? You have to pay $15,000?
That's what they say, but the rate at which they enforce that penalty is pretty low. We've actually never seen them enforce that 50% penalty. Not that you want to risk it, but that's what's sort of interesting about this new lowering of the percentage penalty that Heidi's about to get into.
Right, because they're lowering it from the 50%, and it's now going to be 25%.
Uh-huh.
Which sounds good, but
so now they're more likely to enforce it.
That they're going to enforce it more.
But then they add another caveat that additionally the penalty can be further reduced from the 25% to the 10% if the missed RMD is withdrawn during a correction window. For most people, corrections must be made by the end of the second tax year following the year for which the RMD was missed. The RMD would not need to be taken in the 10% penalty paid during this window. So they're trying to encourage people, and like Nathan was talking about we hadn't seen a lot of these penalties being enforced. But with now all those new agents that they'll have to look over this stuff, I think they're trying to make it easier for people to, if one was missed, to actually pay that fine or that penalty and be able to take care of it without a lot of additional work. So if you go ahead and you notice this, you take the RMD in the years following of when it was due, and you pay that 10% penalty, then you can just go forward from that point. So it's mostly good news. But the SECURE Act does leave intact old rules, which allow an individual who missed an RMD to take the distribution and then use Form 5329 to request a waiver of the penalty. So this is something that was in effect when we had that 50% penalty. You were allowed to sort of say, hey, I have this excuse or this thing happened, and try to get it waived by filling out this form. But there's no guarantee it will be granted, and they might be getting stricter with these easier rules is what I'm thinking. So The problem there is if you don't pay that 10% penalty in those 2 or 3 years, then your window could potentially close for that lower 10%, and you might go from that 10% penalty to the 25% penalty. So clear as mud, right?
Yeah, right.
Right? You got that? You'll be able to handle those questions. But this just points out the intricacy that is out there in some of this legislation. And we're still learning about these new rules that have been enacted. But that's why you always want to check with a financial professional.
Yeah.
If you've missed something, and I'll get into that later, but you don't want to ignore it. Ignoring it just makes the problem worse or the penalty more. So if you realize or you think you did miss something, go back and ask your accountant or your financial advisor or someone in the financial field that can help you with that.
So if you think you've saved all this money all these years, you continue to put money out of your check into your IRA or your 401k, and someday you'll retire, and then you'll just take the money as you need it, and life will be simple and easy, you're wrong. There are layers upon layers of rules and exceptions and penalties. So good to have a financial expert in your corner.
That's true. Yeah. It'll be easy as long as you obey all the rules, right?
Yeah.
But how do you know them all?
Exactly.
Okay, so another change to that RMD penalty, effective upon enactment, so that's sort of vague, like when they passed it, is now they are, and this is, can be a good thing for all of us, is they are establishing a 3-year statute of limitations for missed RMDs. So if you missed an RMD and it's 5 years later and you realize it, that's past that statute of limitations. So this could be a benefit to people if something happened in your past a long time ago. At least you know there's a smaller period of time that you have to go back and look at things because of that statute of limitations. There is some ambiguity out there on how this is going to be enacted and enforced, but it is something that could be a positive thing for us. Mm-hmm. All right, so moving right along, we are going to get into the excess contribution penalty changes. So an excess contribution, what is that? Well, you know how they tell you can only put in so much? If you put in more than that, or there's another way that it can happen. There are some earnings limitations to like Roth IRAs. And so if you made more than you thought you were going to do, maybe you got a big bonus and you had made a contribution and you're no longer eligible, that's how you end up with excess contributions in an account. So what can you do if you're in that case? Well, excess contributions can be removed or recharacterized without penalty if done by October 15th of the year following the year of the contribution. So if you made a mistake last year, you would have till October 15th of this year to correct it. So to properly correct the contribution by removal, any net income associated also has to be removed. So if you had put in this contribution and it had made money, so it probably wasn't last year. But If it had made money, you have to take the earnings out of that. Well, then that adds another complication. What if you're not 59 and a half yet? So there's a penalty if you take out money from your IRA before 59 and a half. So how that works is, let's use Mary, who's 43, and she made a $6,000 year-end contribution for 2022. To a new Roth IRA. She later discovered that her income was too high and she wasn't able to make that contribution. Well, now the balance in her Roth IRA is $6,300. So she wants to correct that. So when Mary takes the $6,300 distribution of the excess contribution, the amount of the excess contribution, that $6,000, that is not taxable to her. Only the amount of the income, the gain of that $300, would be included in her net income for 2023. It will not be subject to the 10% early distribution penalty. So that is how you correct something when you've put in too much money. And usually it's not a lot. These are, because we know the contribution limits, it's usually a relatively a manageable amount. But it's something that if you don't take out, a 6% penalty will apply each year. The excess contribution remains in the account. So that's the real killer there, is if you did it in previous years and you didn't take care of it, it can become a bigger and bigger impact. Mm-hmm. So I would just encourage people, if you think one of these things has happened to you, take a look at it. Don't just let it go, because the sooner you take care of it, the better the result you'll get. And just make a quick call and ask the question.
All right. Five things to know when making a 2022 contribution.
That's
correct. But it's 2023.
Yes. Okay. But you have until April 18.
Okay.
To make a regular Roth IRA contribution or a regular IRA contribution.
Remember in the old days when the tax day was always April 15th? It seems like the last dozen years it's been sort of around April 15th.
Right.
Exactly. So one of the first things to know, so your maximum contribution amount. So if you are under age 50 in 2022, the maximum contribution you may make to a Roth IRA for 2022 is $6,000. For those who reached age 50 in 2022, the maximum increases to $7,000. The annual limit is aggregated for traditional and Roth IRAs. So for example, if you are under age 50, you could contribute $4,000 to your Roth IRA and $2,000 to your traditional IRA, but you may not contribute $6,000 to your traditional IRA and another $6,000 to your Roth IRA for 2022.
So it covers both kinds. You have to add both together.
Correct.
$6,000 total.
Exactly. Yep. The deadline for contributing, as we talked about, is April 18th. If you have an extension to file your taxes, that does not give you more time. Sooner is better than later. Don't wait until the last minute. You never know what may happen.
So true.
Well, another caution you could say is also, you know, a lot of people do wait to the very, very last day. And just the volume of transactions and stuff, you want to make sure that you give yourself a couple of days of cushion, because it's hard to make sure that those are done by the due date. And so plan early.
Yeah. Another thing to watch out for is you must have taxable compensation or earned income to make a Roth IRA contribution. Mm. Passive income, such as investment income, will not work. Social Security income will not work either.
Hmm.
And then next, make sure you report the contribution. Be sure to let the IRA custodian know the year for which you are contributing.
Who's your IRA custodian? If you don't have like a financial advisor, how would you do that?
Typically, it would be honestly who you're making the check out to.
Yeah.
So like if you had a plan at Voya or Fidelity or TD Ameritrade, these are the examples of some custodians. But
custodian is the entity of where your money is or where your investments are at. They have custody, or they hold on to, and they are the record keepers for that. So that who is that entity is the custodian.
So again, to avoid confusion, be sure you designate your contribution as a 2022 prior year contribution. Interesting fact, who don't you have to tell about your Roth IRA contribution? That would be the IRS. There is no requirement that you report a Roth IRA contribution on your 2022 federal tax return. It is good practice, however, for you or your tax preparer to keep track of your Roth IRA contributions.
That's true, because there are rules on distributions. If you have to take money out prior to being 59 and a half in a Roth IRA, there are different rules for contributions versus gains in the account versus conversions in the account. So knowing that number can be helpful. And then I always like to put, I have the our clients put in the memo line, like, this is my Roth for this year, or this is my IRA for this year. Because especially in this period of time from January to April, it could be either. And just, you know, to make things clearer, and if you ever had to go back and backtrack and figure out the number, it makes it easier if it's written down.
Absolutely. And like Heidi was saying, keeping track of that basis, if you do need access to that money, you could access the amount that you contributed to your Roth without that penalty if you are under age 59 and a half.
Question from a listener on a text line. How does participation in an employer 401k plan affect my contribution to an IRA account, if at all?
Yeah, so for a regular IRA account,
there's income limits.
There are income limits, so that's part of it. And then a portion of that IRA contribution, if you are covered by an employer plan, will not be deductible.
So you say if you're in a 401k plan, you're putting money out of your paycheck into a 401k every week, month, or whatever. Mm-hmm. If you want to have an IRA account, it's not. Would it be $6,000 a year limit that you can put in still?
Yeah.
Or you're saying it might be different.
It depends on your income
Wow.
as well. So yeah,
Wow.
there's a couple things to watch out for. But in most cases, it would be allowed, and you could still max out that IRA contribution.
So maybe we could just give them, like, if you're married and in 2022 or 2023, whatever numbers you have.
Yeah, so for married, your modified adjusted gross income must be under $214,000 for tax year 2022 and $228,000 for tax year 2023.
Then you can still do the full amount, $6,000 or $7,000, depending on your age.
If it's under that, yeah. And so, you know, really, these are higher numbers, so it's really only higher earning people that have to be careful. But that happens a lot when you have, if you have a really good year or something like that happens. So it's good to keep it in the back of your mind that there are income limits, and these change every year. They're adjusted. So.
Yeah, and also, too, to that question, your maximum contribution amount to an employer plan like a 401k in 2022, it is $20,500. And in 2023, that bumps up to $22,500. So if you are contributing that much, good job. But yeah, you might be able to also contribute to an IRA or a Roth IRA in addition to that. Heading back to things to know when making your 2022 Roth IRA contribution, the last one would be eligibility. You are never too old to contribute to a Roth IRA. Do you already contribute to a retirement plan at work? That is not a problem either. Participation in your company plan does not affect your eligibility to make a Roth IRA contribution, but as we were saying, it can affect how much of a regular IRA contribution would be considered deductible.
When do people normally stop making contributions to their IRA?
Well, depending on the market situation, it can feel like a donation. But
right.
Well, people can keep doing it as long as it's really that earned income that comes into the contribution sort of discussion. As long as you have earned income, you can make a contribution. But, you know, we can get farther into the weeds and talk. We've talked about conversions and stuff, but that's a topic for another day. But there are always things you can do. But, yeah, as long as you have earned income, that's That's one of the major things.
And on the phone line today, we have a question from Beulah. Doug is calling in from the town of Beulah. Good morning, Doug.
Good morning.
Yes,
I have a question, and it's an IRA question, or a 401k question. I'm sorry, 401k. Okay. So I have three 401ks from three different jobs that I probably should have rolled over as I went along, and I didn't. And so I'm wondering, I'm probably 4 or 5 years from retirement. One, is it good to still roll them up into one? And two, is now the best atmosphere to roll them over?
All right. And so by rolling over, you have three different 401ks, three different jobs, three different employer plans. Rolling over means what? Putting them all into like one account?
Yes, my current account.
Okay. All right. Thoughts on that, Heidi or Nathan?
Well, with 401ks, when you have multiple ones, it's fine that they're in three different plans. They just go along. I mean, there's advantages that you can have by rolling them to an IRA, maybe some different investments now that you're getting closer to retirement. You may want to go more conservative, or there may be certain funds or allocation strategies that aren't available to you in the plan. So that could be a reason for you to do it. Just consolidating, you don't have to keep track of three different things. But you can roll them over at any time. Once you leave an employer, you can roll over your 401k right away, or it can be 10 years later. We've seen people 30, 40 years later roll them over. So it's really up to you. But I would say if you're approaching retirement, this is a good time for you to start thinking about, you know, do I want to make some changes? Do I want to consolidate, maybe buy some products or look into some allocation strategies or investments? Maybe they're not available in your plan, but now's a good time to start that planning process. What do you think?
Is the stock market, does that have an effect on it? Like, because now the stock market is down, so is that going to hurt me to roll it over right now to my current 401k?
Well, that's always that great answer that everyone really likes when you say, well, it depends. And it does depend. It depends on if you're going from like investment to a like investment. The period of time it takes to make the transfer is really the only time that you would be out of the market if you're going like to like. So it all depends on if you're staying at the same risk level, the same type of investments. So
They're all invested in the stock market, aren't they?
Yeah,
yeah,
but
they're all invested in the stock market. Like one is in a, can I say the names of the investments they're in? I mean, just the general, like Putnam is one.
Okay, yeah.
Putnam is one.
If he went through the top performing, he has three 401ks. Could he pick the one that's performing best and put it all into that if he wanted?
Yeah, like I said, it all depends. And I think Nathan had another comment he wanted to make about that.
Yeah, so it sounds like you're well diversified in each of your 401ks there as well. But as Heidi was saying, depending on how much of a loss you might be locking in for that temporary period while you were to roll it over to your current employer's 401k plan or a separate IRA, but you said you had about 5 years left till retirement.
Yeah, I have 5 years left. So I'm thinking, you know, is it better to have them all in the one 401k than to have them in three? Because the two are like, they're in another companies. I don't know how much they're watching them or doing with them, or if they're just sitting there and whatever I invested in them, you know, 10 years ago or 20 years ago.
Yeah, so it might make sense to even consider rolling that to an IRA, depending on your situation, Doug, because you do have most of a market cycle left before you retire. So if you have to take a little bit of a loss to do that, opening up your investment options and being more actively involved right now could make a lot of sense for you.
Okay, so rolling them over, whether it's to the IRA or 401k, because of the way the market is right now, isn't as big of a concern.
It depends on how quickly you can do that, how quickly you can reinvest, and if you will, like Heidi said, be reinvesting essentially in very like-to-like funds. But again, too, you want to look at your options in your current 401k and see if, for that reason, an IRA might be a better fit for you, because that could potentially open up more investment options for you as well.
So, Doug, I would encourage you to contact someone. Go in and take your statements in, and or you can call our office. And, you know, our first meeting is always complimentary. So you could come in and sit down, and we could take a look. And it's look at your individual situation and see what is the best move for you at your in your situation.
Yeah, our number is 231-947-3992. We'd be happy to sit with you, Doug.
Okay, I might be giving you guys a call then. That sounds like the thing to do.
Sounds good.
All right, Doug and Beulah there, thanks for tuning in and for the call today. Prout Financial Design Inn, as Nathan said, 947-3992, or everything is on the website. Past shows, lots of information, proutfinancialdesign.com. Let's take a look at some stats.
Absolutely.
Statistics with Deanne Jennings.
Sounds good. The national gas plunge continues in the 6 months since it peaked on August 22, 2022. The price of natural gas declined 79% through February 22 of 2023, making what it's the largest six-month decline since at least 1990, and that source is Bespoke.
Wow, the price of natural gas has gone down that much?
79%. Yeah. Can you believe it?
Wow.
Despite the rally to kick off 2023, volatility remains elevated. Through this year's first 35 trading days, 17 saw the S&P 500 gain or loss more than 1%. Since 1953, only five other years had as many or more 1% plus moves in the first 35 trading days of the year. And the median rest of the year performance in those 5 years was a gain of 16.5% with positive returns four times. And that source is Bespoke.
Well, that's sort of nice that the odds.
It is. It's encouraging. The odds are in our favor.
May the odds be ever in your favor.
I love it. In the week ending February 17, 2023, an index that tracks U.S. mortgage purchase applications fell over 18% for its largest weekly decline since 2015. The volume of purchase applications is currently down over 40% year over year to the lowest level since 1995, and that source is Mortgage Bankers Association.
So those interest rates are really impacting.
They're hurting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. A recent YouGov survey found that 22% of U.S. adults with children plan to travel for spring break this year. Of those planning a trip, 66% said they'd be priced out of at least one of their first choices for spring break vacation, and 70% said they'd had to tweak their travel plans to save money, and that source is YouGov.
22% of adults with children are going to travel with their children.
Yeah, right.
The other 78 are going to travel without their children.
Exactly.
No, that's
I think the children are still traveling. It's just that the parents aren't with them.
Since 1945, February has been the S&P 500's second worst performing month in terms of average monthly returns, negative 0.18%. Bulls have tended to get back on track in March, though, as the average monthly return has been a gain of 1.13%, with gains 64% of the time. The worst March since 1945 was in 2020, negative 12.5%, while the best ever March was in 2000, a positive 9.67%, and that source is Bespoke.
So there's a lot of difference between the best and the worst.
It
there.
Is, absolutely.
March can be crazy.
Yes.
But that one from 2020, that was the COVID drop.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. Yes. 43 years ago last week, February 22nd, 2023, the U.S. men's hockey team did the impossible and beat the Soviet Union. Americans look back nostalgically to that time, but at that time of the miracle on ice, consumer price index was rising at a 14.2% year-over-year rate, the federal funds rate was 15%, and the Dow Jones was under 1,000, and that source is Bespoke.
What was the federal funds rate?
The federal fund rate was just 15%.
Yikes.
So we think we're going through hard times right now. 1980.
It hardly seems possible that
I know.
That was that high.
I know. Absolutely. And one last one, when making financial decisions, U.S. adults over the age of 60 are more than 2.5 times likely to consult a financial professional or personal finance consultant than adults under the age of 29. Even adults between the ages of 30 to 44 are less likely than half as likely to seek the advice of a professional. And that source is National Endowment for Financial Education. And I thought this was a really good point, and I looked up another stat according to the Country Financial. And the question was where Americans turn most for their personal finance advice. 32% turn to their parents. 16% turn to their partner or spouse. 12% turn to the internet or blogs, 12% turn to financial advisors, 8% turn to schools and classes. And so the biggest percentage is people turning to their parents, 32%. But out of that 32%, 46% of parents would give themselves a C or lower in financial literacy. Isn't that funny? Mm. So that goes back to that great question with that caller calling in. It's always good to seek professional advice and to come on in. And Prout Financial Design, we like to not only take care of our clients, but our clients' families. So if you have questions or a family member has questions, we would love to help you out.
Yes.
Prout Financial Design also has a new location, FYI. If you've never been there, it's not new, but if you've been there before, it's now located on 8th Street at Garfield. Very nice, roomy facilities. So if you meet with Heidi or Dennis or Nathan, it's very nice, very comfortable. And big screen TV monitors, you can see the stock markets and see your accounts put up there. And classrooms, I got a tour recently. Will you be any... plans yet for classes in 2023?
Well, we're planning stuff for some client classes, and then somewhere down the line, maybe we keep pushing it back a little bit, trying to get organized, but we'd like to start a monthly financial education once a month where we can have people in the community can come in and pick your favorite topic, you know, like RMDs, QCDs,
yep.
All those things, and just learn a little bit, have lunch, and learn a little bit. So
and Ron,
that'll
one,
be coming.
Exactly. And Ron, one of my favorite things about the new building
yes.
is our Dropbox. We now have a Dropbox. So if clients want to send paperwork our way, they can just, and we're closed, you can just put that in the Dropbox. And we're so excited about the many aspects of our building. But
yep. We never had one before.
I know.
And we really did feel the lack of it.
Mm-hmm.
So we're excited about it.
So the National Writers Series recently brought to Traverse City this guy named Alvin Hall, who's written a number of financial books. His latest book that he was promoting was a little bit different. But one of his bestsellers was targeted to young people, to get people focused on money. He said he learned, he wanted to make money, so he had to learn about money. And he has a long-established career of writing financial books. But I was trying to find the name of the one for kids. But when you talk about monthly education classes, we had talked there last week, we were talking about younger people tend not to think about their retirement or their finances. And that's just a good group to try to get focused on that, to rope them in. Any thoughts about classes for them?
Yeah, that's a great idea. We'll definitely have to add that to our list of class topics. But that's a great idea because what a difference it would make. I mean, a lot of us, you know, if you think about it and you're like, wow, somebody would have told me about that 20 years ago. So trying to get that before people are having that kind of regret and get some financial knowledge would be positive.
So I thought we'd close the show by talking about eligible designated beneficiaries.
EDB.
EDB, yep. Rolls right off the tongue. Like we love acronyms in this industry. So an eligible designated beneficiary is somebody who is a surviving spouse, minor child of the account owner until they reach age 21, a disabled individual, a chronically ill individual, and people who are not more than 10 years younger than the IRA owner, which means those that are older also qualify from that IRA owner. And EDBs have a distinct advantage over non-EDBs in the fact that they are allowed to still stretch the required minimum distributions from an inherited IRA, while a non-eligible designated beneficiary is saddled with the newly created 10-year rule, which dictates the entire IRA must be depleted by the end of the 10th year after the year of death. So eligible designated beneficiaries can blissfully continue to elongate the distribution period over their own single life expectancy. In many cases, this can be decades, so they can keep or minimize their taxes, I should say, by only taking the RMD and leave an inherited Roth IRA dollar in the account as long as possible by only taking those RMDs. So yes, those that inherit Roths will have an RMD.
All right, we'll see if you can answer one question here in the remaining time. Someone wants a clarification. If you're taking money out of your IRA monthly to live on, that counts as RMD money, right? You make it sound like it's bad to take out your own money and pay taxes on it. So
it's not bad
to take out your own money. You save it.
Exactly. Yeah.
The RMD is a required amount you have to take out.
Right.
Exactly. But yeah, any money that comes out of your IRA, the first money out, always counts towards your requirement, your required minimum distribution.
Yeah. Yes, indeed. Yeah.
So that may be almost like an automatic for some people have their plan set up where they're going to take X amount of dollars per year, and it well more than covers their RMD.
Right. Exactly. And why it sounds like maybe we're negative on RMDs, it's really just if you don't want to take it out, then you're forced to take it out.
That's
so. Sometimes you're in that situation. But that's why you save the money.
That's the other situation. All right. That'll wrap it up today. Prout Financial Design with New Retirement Radio on WTCM Traverse City. Thank you, gang.
Thank you, Ron.